Welcome to Sweet Release. With Who Are We with Satsi and Sarah. This is going to be a very mellow episode. So if that's not something you're okay with, then the door is over there.
Yeah, super low energy right now. I think it's because it's Cancer season, and Cancer is always about kind of like that lower kind of state of being. I don't want to like sound mean. That's not meant to sound mean. It's just like, it's about care and nurturing and kind of like protecting yourself and like having a little bit of like a guard and a shield up and kind of going back into like your little crab shell.
Like, you know, in Mr. Krabs, hey, we talk about SpongeBob every episode, but when Mr. Krabs is like naked,
it's kind of scary.
And he's like really like squishy and like disgusting. Like, I feel like that's very Cancer season, like embryo vibes.
Mm-hmm.
It really like put the pieces together for me. You wrote the other day that Gemini is like all this new information like scattered all over and Cancer is picking it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every like sign kind of like follows the next. So like Taurus is like the germination or like the fungus that like starts sprouting. And then Gemini is like the winds that kind of like blows that around. And then Cancer is finally the one that kind of like knows how to like fertilize it or adds water to the growth, like knows how to like put it together.
And Leo's the sun.
Mm-hmm. And then Leo starts the emotional self where you start to have feelings about that.
Well, it starts with Aries, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. But some of the ancients regard Cancer as the start of the season, or like the start of the zodiac.
Cancer is very like fetal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that disgusting, actually, that we were all born? Like, I think that's so foul.
You get grossed out a lot about, like, other people's body parts and stuff. You get grossed out really quickly.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I do. I mean, it's okay, you know, but, like...
For me, it's more of, like, comforting to know that, like, we're all disgusting.
Yeah, there's a prayer about that. Because where you, like, sort of recite all the gross things that exist in your body. I really wish I could be completely clean. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, we clean our house, but under the floor is so dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And the house lies on top of the dirt.
If you think about it too much, you'll literally just go crazy because I feel that.
Wait, it's interesting that that aspect of it makes you crazy, but like the bodily stuff, you don't mind.
Well, because I know the bodily stuff has like a purpose. Like when a baby is born, it's born with like this fine layer of skin texture called Lanugo vernix, and it's kind of disgusting. Mm. And it's like smells really gross. Then like when they first poop, it's like this meconium stuff that like
what does it smell like? The skin, not the poop.
The skin. It kind of smells mm-hmm. like I've been taking a lot of like sea moss gel recently. And it kind of smells like that. It doesn't really have like a smell to it, but it has like that sort of like organism scent.
And what is, do you know what the other thing smells like?
The meconium? Yeah, it smells foul. Like, it's disgusting. But it's not,
and what
like,
is it?
It's, like, salty almost. It's, like, the first time, like, a baby poops, or, like, the first time, like, a human poops, basically. And it's, like, all of the disgusting kind of, like, stuff that was in the mother's placenta that they were like inhaling, and then also like the proteins and food that they're getting from like their mom. But it's like really sticky, so like it takes a long time to like clean it, you know?
Is it black?
Yeah, it's like black
yeah,
and
I think
tar.
I've seen this.
Yeah.
Is it almost like,
But that
is it
stuff
like,
isn't gross. It's kind of like beautiful.
I want to retract my statement about being grossed out by aspects of the human condition. However, I'm like not comfortable. I'm not feeling at peace like in moments of gross bodily conditions, you know? Like it does not like represent tranquility, harmony, love, all the things I came to Earth for.
Yeah, there's definitely like a lot of different people in the world. But I feel like if you were to see, like, this is just from my perspective, but if you were to see like an infected wound, like, you would probably throw up.
Yeah, that's true. Someone said I had a weak stomach once. I have seen some really gross things though that I can't share here. I'm sure you've seen more though.
Yeah,
Wait, did you
probably.
see that video? I feel like it's been going around and it's like a really infected foot, like a cartoon of a really infected foot, and they like clean it.
I haven't seen that, but is that like an educational video? Seems like.
Probably. I don't know what else it would be for, but do you do stuff like that?
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Well, it must be nice to do a good job.
It feels rewarding because it's not, it's like you're doing something and like you're adding cleanliness to the world. Like when I do like wound care or something, it's like there's obvious signs of like tissue dying and stuff. And like just to make it all better and to like see like pink skin again and to have like that nice sort of capillary beds. It feels good to like have someone be clean.
You know what's something I've always wondered actually? What happens to the hazardous waste? Like where does it go?
In the garbage. I'm pretty sure it
Just like,
gets like incinerated somewhere.
oh, incinerated. Interesting.
I feel like my mind is like not working properly. I feel like we're in one of those like states of consciousness where like things are kind of like changing around and everything's kind of like floating and they're like we're still kind of like waiting for things to like fall.
Today's the first day of my progressed moon, so that's what I blame that on.
Your progress, do you want to share?
No. I don't know what sort of information could be ascertained about me from that.
From an astrologer, a lot. From the average person, probably not much.
What do you mean about everything being up in the air?
Like, there's so many planets in dignity right now, and there's so many, like, planets that are moving very fast. And also, tomorrow, just before sunrise, we're going to be able to see all of the planets, like Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, like all six of the, or all five of, like, those bodies that are, like, under the sun's orbit. And of course, the sun and the moon. And the moon is going to be like in a perfect position, like exalted with the sun in dignity because of that. And it's just like a really powerful time right now. But I feel like these times don't really, like, very powerful moments in astrology are very mundane. Like, which kind of just like shows that like your everyday routine is like where greatness is made.
It's beautiful. What does indignity mean?
Like they have power, or they're not retrograde, or they're have some sort of like, yeah, they have like dignity because of the sign that they're in. Like the planet is doing really well because of the sign.
It's exalted.
Just the moon is going to be exalted, but that kind of sets up the rest of the chart really well anyways.
Why is it masculine to own a telescope, but feminine to read the planets?
I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I grew up with a really nice telescope because my dad was really into it. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But telescopes are expensive.
Are they? I bet they would be.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it.
My first job, actually, was I was in charge of a telescope.
Did you have to clean it?
No. No, I, it was donated to a museum by NASA, and it was pointing directly at, I think the moon, and people would come in and I would like tell them like this like 150 word thing, and I'd be like, look for sunspots. Oh, it must have been the sun because they were looking at sunspots. I'd be like, oh, look at the sunspots. And then I would tally that someone came.
Did you get paid for this?
No, it was like, I think I got some like, they gave me free passes for the train, so I could be like downtown all the time, and that was fun for like a 14-year-old, you know?
Oh, that's cool. When I was 14, my parents literally did not let me out of the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember sneaking off to LA one time with my friends when I was like 16, and that was like a big deal. Like my mom
came. What'd you do?
We just went to downtown, and then we went to the last bookstore. It's like a bookstore in Los Angeles. That's really nice. And then that was basically it. And then like I came back on the train at like 8 p.m. and like my mom and my mom's friend were there just like waiting for us, like snapping their toes, like looking at us. Because the friend that I
was snapping their toes, excuse me?
Not snapping their toes, but like, you know, clicking their feet or whatever, like shaking their fingers at us. Yeah, because the friend that I went with is like also like Latina, and her mom was like called my mom. Like my mom found, you know what I mean? I was like, how? And then the worst part of it is like we went with this guy, like, but that's so cool that your parents just like let you kind of go out in the city when you were 14.
Well, it was just a different story, you know, because it wasn't that they let me. I feel like it was more like they didn't really care.
I get that point of view where it's like your parents don't really care, but on the other side, like, I feel like if you have very, very strict parents, there's a part of that that they don't care about either, because they don't care about finding your freedom or identity. So I feel like it can be taken either way. Because if your parents are too strict, then that kind of like really constricts you and like makes you have a very narrow mindset. Whereas if like your parents care, but like they, I don't know. But yeah, I get what you mean.
Did you ever have a boyfriend in high school?
Yeah, I had one boyfriend.
But did you sneak it?
No. This was, like, very PG.
Oh, yeah, city, same. I had a boyfriend in high school, but it was, like, Mormon. No offense to the Mormons out there.
Mormons are...
We just, like...
Interesting.
Yeah, did you hear about their sodas that they have in Utah?
Yeah, that one girl from TikTok, Kirsten Titus, I literally can binge watch her videos for days. Like, they're so funny to me.
Isn't it crazy how there are so many people with large followings who we just will never know of?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too. I was talking to someone today and she like mentioned an influencer, like it was like a name I would know, you know, and I didn't. And it's just like what brings us to people, you know?
I think mostly the algorithm, but also the algorithm is kind of based off of your own mindset, like the brain of like your algorithm of your brain anyways. So it's just about common interests and stuff.
I so agree with that. Like whenever I see someone like ranting about how like bad social media is, I roll my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, like you create it.
Back to the parents thing. I think a lot of the time when people like really love something or someone, like the way that they know how to show their love is by making rules.
Yeah.
Like, think about the United States Constitution, for example. Like, I'm not a historian, but it's like liberty, right? And like freedom, and like I can like get behind those ideas, but it's just like so convoluted and it's like so far from that. Like everyone just like thought about it too much, you know? And I mean also the removal of like marginalized identities from the narrative.
Yeah. So you think the United States loves us or did?
Well, what is the United States? When you say that, do you mean the land?
No, definitely not the land. I would say the United States is just kind of like, honestly, an ideology or like a concept now. But I think back then it was more of like a group of people who wanted to have freedom to do what they wanted and have their own money.
Well, the United States does have a goddess.
Tell me more about this.
Well, the Statue of Liberty was based off of this really popular depiction in 18th century paintings, 18th century American paintings, where usually the wars and the battle would feature like a Lady Liberty, like a very, like almost like a cherub. You know, and I think she has brown hair and she's weeping because they're fighting. And the Statue of Liberty, you know, I mean, that's like the first thing so many people see when they come, or back in the old days.
Yeah, that's interesting to think that the Statue of Liberty is like low-key a statue of worship.
The French are so classy. Like, what a classy gift.
Oh, right? The way that they speak is, like, I feel like they have to hire their octaves, like, by three. But it's also interesting because when I speak Spanish, my voice goes up, like, super high. And when I, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then when I speak English, like, my voice is, like, very deep. And I feel like that also kind of pertains to, like, the European lifestyle in a way, where it's, like, women are expected to be a little bit more petite and have more of, like, a feminine type of vibe to themselves. But that just makes the men kind of, like, value them more. And Europeans definitely value their women's more than here. Like, with maternity leave and stuff. It's just an example.
Yeah. I have to think about that. I mean, like, yeah, I would say so. I'm not as familiar with Spanish as you are, of course, but my voice does go up with the Romance languages, and it goes down with Eastern European languages and with Hindi. And I think with Tibetan, I never got very good at Tibetan, but I think it stayed the same.
Yeah, I think I only know how to say a couple phrases in Russian, but I like my Russian voice. Like, I like the way it sounds because it's, like, very similar to... Russian is kind of interesting because they, like, roll their R's.
Oh, I cannot do that.
Like that.
Yeah, and my tongue can't do that. I also can't whistle.
I can't believe you didn't know what an avocado was, but I also didn't
I
know.
know.
I didn't know what like beets were until I was older, also.
We went to like the food desert grocery store, you know. And I don't know
Yeah.
why we did personally, and I know how people like change from their parents, but like I just think food is so important, and if there's something I'm gonna spend money on, it's gonna be food, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like you're putting that into your body. It's like becoming a part of your cells.
What do you think about like experiences that sync up the mind and the body? Like, no, when do you feel like your body and mind are at sync, in sync?
That like I don't want to be like they're always in sync, but I realized like how much of my body wasn't in sync with my mind when I did my like yoga teacher training, and ever since then like I felt very connected to my body. Like I even like some people will even tell me like just randomly like you're very in tune with your body, like just random people. But I also think that's like a gift of like other things in my chart, and also my mom raised, yeah, like my mom raised us with like really good food. So, yeah, what about you? What are some like, is it a grounding experience? Is that what you're searching for?
I remember talking to a math major woman, by the way. Math major women are like the greatest people in the
Oh,
world.
for
Like,
real.
oh my God. But she was telling me how like her goal in life is to find work that puts her in a flow state. And she just put it very literally, like something that just you know, like the mind and the body are like doing the same thing, talking about the same thing.
Yeah, like your nerves are very myelinated and nicely sending things. That's how I get with nursing.
Yeah, I was imagining you were gonna say that when I was creating this question earlier.
What about you? What is your flow state?
Is nursing your only one? I mean, probably yoga, exercise, sex.
Yeah, definitely sex, but yeah, and then also like giving people readings.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, like sometimes, oh, and it's really interesting because when you like give someone a reading, there was this like ancient Hellenistic astrologer, I think it was Al-Kindi. He said to like always take account of like the weather going on. Oh no, I think this was Copernicus actually. This was like some deep esoteric stuff, but they were talking about how or writing about how you should account the weather and anything weird going on, or like you should put your entire soul, body, mind into like this reading, like really connect with your surroundings. And sometimes I'll give people readings and like I'll see a spider, like, and I never see a spider, or like I'll see like a huge plane like go by, and then I'll be like, oh, you're gonna go on some sort of like flight soon or something, like I just saw a huge plane, and they're like, yeah, how'd you know? And I'm like, that wasn't even a part of the chart, like it was just the practice of me like commencing divination, like that happens. But
Oh, that's really cool.
yeah, what about you?
I kind of want you to talk about that more.
Satsi always refuses to talk about herself.
Not true at all. Are you kidding me? Do you actually think that?
Yes and no.
This is a podcast, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
What was the question? Like flow states? Meditation is my truest flow state. My one true love. Sarah's like sitting on the floor in the dark. Roller skating. Dancing, like having like a really late night. I mean, that's like not what my life is like anymore. Reading a book, but I almost feel like that doesn't count because that's pretty much just like the mind reading it. Eating something really good or cooking, like when it's a really like embodied cooking, like it's like, oh, flip that, turn this, turn that down, add some milk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a preschool once and I'd be like, I don't know, we played this game where like there was this one girl who was like not able to like listen to instructions, and so like everyone else would be like building a city and she'd be like tearing it down, and we'd be like, guys, we have to rebuild it, come on, like get that bridge back up, get the towers, where are the helicopters, like, oh, it's down again, get the hospital.
She was like the monster.
Yeah, the menace. I love swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a massage. Maybe like, oh, when I lie on my room, I don't remember what's my acupuncture mat. When I lie on my acupuncture mat, it has all these like needle points, sort of.
I feel like it's also the same for you, just like living your life. Like when you, like when you're like walking around and just kind of like I guess like running errands and stuff, do you feel like that's a flow state?
No. Do you?
Definitely not going outside of my house to run errands, but if I'm like cleaning and like also cooking food simultaneously, I feel like that's a major flow state.
Oh, I never would ever do that.
Cooking clean?
That's not my thing. Just mixing those.
You don't wash the dishes when you cook?
No, I'll tidy. Like, I'll, like, move things around, but I won't, like, wipe anything.
Mmm.
I was actually puzzling around this today, but, like, do you make eye contact with people?
No.
Like, on the street?
Never.
Right. But I used to do that. Like, when I was younger, I used to do that, and, like, I got something out of it. But now everyone, I just am, like, no. And I wonder if that's reductive.
Someone told me when I was younger, this might have been like a cultural thing, but like they said to like just not look at people in the eyes, like look at their eyebrows or like look at like below their eyes or something. Like that was just kind of like instilled upon me when I was younger.
I don't know what it is though, because it's like, I don't know, my mom was telling me how, like, in the 80s, every week this, like, comic book would come out, and, like, everyone read it, and, like, everyone would be at, like, the comic store, like, waiting to get it, and they'd be, like, jovial, you know, like, oh, like, reading their comics. Mm-hmm. And there just aren't really, like, ways of interacting with people like that anymore. Like, everything is very, like, I don't know, like, even if I, like, have to retrace my steps in the grocery store, I feel sort of like out of place doing that.
Yeah, I get that feeling. Remember when Pokemon Go? Did you remember that? Were you a part of that?
Mm-hmm. Vaguely, yeah.
I remember when Pokemon Go came out. It was like summer of 2016 or 2017 or something. And it was just like the most like amazing community thing ever.
Yeah, I sort of remember.
Yeah, like you would just like go and like like a big group would like just be following whatever around. But yeah, what do you mean like when you have to go back in the grocery store, like you feel awkward because like you forgot some things, so you have to like go the other direction of people?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's sort of unacceptable. Like, it's, like, breaking a rule. It's, like, what is she doing? I don't know. I was in Sprouts the day after the elementary school shooting. And people were just on edge. Like, I could, like, feel it. Like, that energy, like, sparkling when I entered. Like, people were just, like, feeling unsafe there. And I, like, was just, I don't know. Do you ever just go in the grocery store to look at everything?
No, because I don't live that close to one where I can, like, walk to it. I'd have to drive, and that's kind of, ugh.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. But for me, I'll just be thinking, like, okay, let me, like, see what there is to have. Like, I don't know what I want when I go there. And so I was, like, I didn't have a car, and I was just walking around and, like, going backwards, and people were looking at me, like, what is she doing? And it's, like, I don't know. I guess it's understandable, but it's just sort of weird how, like, being human is about being gross and about making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You can quote me on that.
Being gross, making mistakes, finding a flow state. Something that I'm trying to work on right now, and I feel like a lot of people are on this journey as well, is, like, opening, I don't want to say, like, your throat chakra, but it's, like, opening that space to, like, freely say what you want. And I feel like that affects, like, so many people because they feel, like, inhibited to say what they truly want.
I feel like you think about other people a lot.
I feel like a lot of people do too. It's like,
yeah,
it's a curse. It really is.
Well, I think it's good and bad. Like, I think I'm like speaking about you because I'm talking to you, but I think, like, this is a very general thing, you know. You're, like, very considerate and sensitive to the needs of others, but also you, like, eclipse your expression in certain ways to make sure it's, like, okay with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have almost the opposite problem. Like, my throat area burns almost. Like, I need to drink some ice cold water and eat some frozen cherries because I just won't shut up all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not talking is what I'm doing, but I'm just, like, constantly, like, anytime I can, like, catch a thought, I'm writing it down, like, instantly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, like, my stomach and my lower regions, like, my navel gets so tense. And, like, sometimes I'll just, like, realize in the day that, like, unconsciously I'm holding it so tightly.
That's probably anxiety or nervousness. Well, it is nervousness and anxiety. But when you, like, when your throat, like, burns so much because you're, you know, like, catapulting your mind into, like, different ways of thinking as much as possible, is that, like, an addiction, you think, to be like that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I feel like mine is also an addiction, like, to shut myself up or to, like, just not make myself known or to not make my own feelings known to myself in a way.
What do you mean to yourself?
Like, there's so much hidden from our consciousness that our subconscious has. And I think that, like, a part of confidence in yourself comes from having that access with your subconscious. And it's really, like, stored in your throat, I think. Because there's, like, this connection, like, there's, like, a disconnect from, like, your head and your body. And that's symbolized by the neck. So if, like, we were to be dragons and stuff, like, it would be, like, the neck that's kind of, like, the separator of that. And I see myself as a dragon.
Oh, that's interesting. You see yourself as a dragon?
Just because the nodes are so a part of my chart. Like, my sun is exactly conjunct the south node. My rising is exactly conjunct the north node. So there's like that polarizing energy. And that's why I feel like my throat kind of like stops at sometimes.
Because, I think if I was the little like creature on your shoulder, what I would whisper in your ear is inaction is still a decision. And I would whisper that to you all the time. Like, not making a decision is still making a decision.
Inaction is still a decision. That's true.
Inaction is action.
Yeah. And that's a decision.
You like, don't agree. You don't agree.
Well, sometimes I feel like, do you think everything is a decision, though? You think everything that you do, everything that you say, there's like a choice?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's always a conscious choice, but, you know, I could, like, smash my head through this window right now, and I'm choosing not to. I could pour water on my computer. I could tell a stranger to smile.
It's so interesting because when you get into like these sort of like unseen sort of things, you know, like your consciousness is unseen, obviously. It gets very like abstracted because I don't really think that like everything is a choice or like a decision. But I think that like you make it a choice or a decision. Like it's not really like
that. Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, I feel like the way I'm seeing it, I want to, I guess, reframe how we put it earlier.
I want to...
Because I'm seeing it... Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you about yourself, Amelia, like how you told me about me.
Okay, then I'm down, I'm down. Man, I'm nervous. Let me say one thing, though, that I was meaning to say. Like, in terms of, like, games you can play with your subconscious... I lived at this monastery with these kids and we would play this game where like there was like a beat, like I think we were like clapping or like patting the table and you say like a sentence to the cadence of that beat, but you leave the last word and then the next person says that word and then starts their sentence. And maybe it's hard to describe, but, like, as you go, like, you start saying, like, really revealing things about yourself, sort of, because you, like, aren't holding on to it, you know? And it's just, yeah, it's interesting, you know?
Do they have to guess, like, what your last word was supposed to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it would be, like... I'm so hot, I want to swim in the... And then the next person is like, river, I read a book about a shiver, you know? But you just keep going and it gets really deep.
Yeah, lots of stuff can be revealed. A lot of desires.
Okay, go ahead, read me, Sarah. I know you want to, it's okay.
Well, like how you said that like... If you were, like, the little person on my shoulder, you'd be like, inaction is still a decision. I think for you...
Why did you say it like that? You didn't like it?
No, I like it. It's just, like, it's true. It's, like, 1,000% true. But I feel like that puts, like, a lot of seriousness onto my life.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, too, when I said it.
Yeah, I think for you... I would say something like life isn't chess or checkers, it's life. Because
they're gonna hang up.
And that's not an insult. Is that an insult?
No. Go ahead, keep going.
It's just that we're two different people. Everyone is a different person. But like we're definitely very similar in certain ways, but also very different. And I feel like a lot of people, like you have like a type A personality, but it's kind of like put on as like a type B personality.
Right.
And then for me, I have a type B personality, but it's put on as like a type A personality.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Like, I don't see life as, like, a game, even though, like, I want to. But for me, I'm just like, ugh, whatever. Like, if the king dies, then so be it. I think for you, it's more about, like, no, the king and queen must stay. My king and queen must stay up.
Yeah, that's so true. I don't know, like, I guess, like, the elevated version of that is I want people to know that they are not beholden to their emotions. Like, they are not a victim to what happens to them. And you can, like, look yourself in the eyes and you can be better. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, like, the king died. Like, I'm so sad. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, make a new king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two sides to every story. If it's not a game, then what is it?
I don't know, but it's not a game. Because games have this more, like, games are, like, serious, but they're not serious at the same time. I'm not sure how to put it.
Wait, I'm, like, processing that. I feel like I don't want to play. I feel like I didn't want to play this game, mm-hmm. but I have to play it forever. And I've played it so many times that I like get it, but I just have to keep going, and everyone else is really enjoying it, and I just want to go home.
Yeah, I think that this game does have an end, though.
Yeah.
Every game has an end.
We just skipped to that part?
I don't know. And I don't have a certain, like, spirituality that I, like, super subscribe to that, like, has sort of, like, a manuscript for what happens after the game ends. But in my opinion, I think it, like, can go several different ways. I don't know. This is just too abstract right now. There's so many ways that, like, this game can end, and, like, we can either continue on, or we can go into, like, the dark abyss, or we can go to Nirvana or somewhere very special with our loved ones and stuff. But, like, what is the probability of that actually happening? And also, like, if you are super, like, in that sort of way, like, you want, like, you have, like, a kind of, like, a perfectionist mindset, I think it's kind of difficult for you to, like, or for anyone to, like, accept that it has an end anyways. Because there's, that, like, that addiction component that's, like, I like this game, I want to keep playing, that you mm-hmm. might not be conscious of.
Do you want to know how I really feel?
Yeah.
I feel like nobody in my life knows how to play the game. Like, nobody can handle the game, and so they suffer, and so I have to play the game for everybody.
That's how I feel too sometimes.
I know it's not real, like, on
yeah,
the ultimate level.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, like, but everyone has their own, like, methods and techniques and stuff that they use.
I think we align with the identity that feels most comfortable. And oftentimes that is what we were placed into as a child, you know, like in our childhoods.
It's hard to demold yourself into, like, what other people want you to be and, like, what you see yourself as versus what society has placed you into and the genetics that you were given and the birth chart that you were given. But you can change it. You can.
Do you think actually that we would have like a more straightforward way of things if like you presented as type B and I presented as type A?
What do you mean? If I.
Well, I can only speak for myself. So I like to be in control of my destiny. I know what I want and et cetera, et cetera. But I think I like act like a baby or like look like a little child. Just in like not literally I look like an adult woman, you know, but like I look lost. People think I'm lost. People think I'm very open. And I tend to attract people who I think maybe control is too sinister, but they want to like lead me. And after a certain amount of time, they realize that like they can't lead me. There's friction there, you know, because I don't want to go to that restaurant, so I'm not gonna go. Do you know what I mean? And perhaps if I wore some shorts, this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I get what you mean. That's kind of like a really interesting way to look at yourself. I think a lot of people get surprised when they start to know. I think a lot of people get surprised when they see themselves through other people's perspectives because it's not really what you think it is.
And you'll never know what it actually is.
Yeah, but you can get a glimpse of it if you're cognizant enough and you have that sort of like ability to lose your ego for a second.
I mean, maybe this is like a selfish way to look at things, but I feel like I can see people really clearly.
I think I've told you
Like,
this before, but I think like people like really act like themselves around me. Like, I don't think anyone is fake towards me. Like, there's no choice. Like, you can't.
Well, is that because you're a chameleon?
I think it's because I allow people the space to be their true selves and I make them appreciate themselves.
That's a nice sentiment. Well, how do you do that?
I put a layer of like this emulsification aura around my interactions with people.
That's what I do in guided meditations. I give them a hug.
Yeah. Or put like an egg around them. What were you gonna say?
What was I gonna say?
Something about you seeing other people clearly for who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can see people's like deepest desires. And I feel like, and you know, I have a big imagination. Like, this might not be true, but I feel like based on the way people show themselves, I can see who they are and what they fear they're lacking.
Yeah. Isn't
I
it
also
so
know.
fun? Oh my gosh, like to see like one of those to see like one of those Instagram girls, and I'm not like talking bad about them. And I'm not saying that like making like have like wearing makeup and stuff like makes you insecure because it doesn't. But like there is something that you
Then why did
desire.
you say that?
Cuz it's like I don't know. I think that's like something that like is quite obvious in people sometimes is like insecurity is so obvious. It's really sad. But I don't think makeup has anything to do with it. Like I just like kind of thought about like a specific individual, but it's not always like that. Again, everyone is very different. And like just because you wear makeup doesn't not make you insecure at all. It's just like an example that I thought about like on this moment.
Something I'm paying attention to recently. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the game. Like, you rip me apart. But I've been like thinking about social media or like more aware of it and like studying others on it. And when I see these girls who are like very beautiful, perfect girls, and they post every week, and it's them in like immaculate lighting, hair done, nails done, makeup, jewelry, perfect, cute little outfit, and they're also in like a very interesting environment. That's like curated, right? That takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, especially like the maintenance of that as well.
I mean, maintenance is different because some girls just like get their nails done, you know, and it's like they like have to have their nails done, but like,
but there's a certain type of like vibrancy that you have to maintain. It's not just about like your nails or like the way that you look. It's like your, again, like your aura, like the cleansing of your aura, which is why meditation is so important. It's like a dry cleaner.
Any occupation has so much background work that's unspoken.
Yeah, that's true.
I was reading about this artist named Amalia Oman. She actually came up in the book I was reading, but in the 2010s, you know, when Instagram was first starting to happen, and you know, Instagram was very much a product of 3G. Like back then, phones could really only load a square image, you know, and the cameras weren't very good. And so here comes this app where like you can get these filters that make your pictures look better, and also it will like load these square photos.
And the iPhone. The iPhone coming out was like huge. Like that's why
Did you get one right away?
My dad did. I thought it was cool. I was like playing with it and stuff every day.
Yeah. I remember playing Cooking Mama on my cousin's phone. Now I wanted to say this artist, she created this really curated identity of sort of like a beautiful bougie girl. You can look it up and see all of the work she did. I think it was called Excellences and Perfections, and it was just like photos of her hair and makeup, photos of her things, like photos of her locations, and it was totally fabricated. Like she wasn't actually doing these things or going to these places. And she gained such a massive following just from public approval. And I was thinking about that, and I don't really think someone could do that today. Just because the bar has been raised so much. Like, well, I don't know. I guess one might argue that like everyone is doing that online, but I just thought it was an interesting project.
Do you think like transparency is required in order to be accepted?
Accepted?
Yeah, like to become popular on social media. Because I don't think so at all.
Transparency. I don't know. I think if you, you need to have something greater than yourself, I think, that you're giving.
Yeah, I think that's like the grandness of it, to like keep you motivated in a sense, or to like have an idea of like your path. But like the typical person on social media is not transparent. They're a little bit more, you know, like only showing the good sides. I mean, we've heard it all before, like don't trust what you see on social media. Don't let social media affect your mental health in any sort of way, because the majority of it like is not real. It's kind of like an illusion. It's the greatest illusion. And Steve Jobs is to blame.
I feel like the typical average social media user is just like posting pictures where they look hot, and then maybe they'll post their sushi. But it's mostly just like moments of hotness.
Moments of hotness. People are beautiful. Humans are so beautiful. True. It's crazy.
I'm all kind of like over that though.
There are times where I'm over it, and then there's times where like I see like Emily Ratajkowski and I'm like, oh my goodness, like how is this person like human? But at the same time, like have seen Emily Ratajkowski in person one time.
Ooh la la.
And she looks so different.
Oh mon dieu. Was she beautiful?
No, she looked very, like, okay. No, she was beautiful. Like, arguably, like, very beautiful. But she just looked very unique in the face. But it was still very beautiful. She got, like, macarons from the store that I used to work at.
It's just not, someone being beautiful is not super interesting to me, I guess. And, you know, like, they don't exist to interest me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it doesn't really, like, it's not something I pay a lot of attention to.
For me, it's not so much, like, the person interests me. It's more of, like, just the concept of it. Like, the human cellular agenda. Like, how the humans can be formed in that way. It's more, like, bigger.
Well, you know how, like, the way that someone's face fits together is just, like, mwah. Like, yes. You know?
Everyone's face does that for me, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I think I have a tendency to, like, run towards things. Because no one else is running.
Oh.
See, I just spoke your language in the way I phrased that. Do you see that?
Yeah. It helps me understand it better when you use metaphors. I'm not a literal thinker. And I love girls that aren't either.
Wait, what do you mean? I don't think I'm a literal thinker. Do you think I'm a literal thinker, Sarah?
I think you're a very literal thinker, actually. I think that's why you're, like, really loving to, like, bend time and words together, because that's something that, like, pushes your brain further. And for me, it's more of, like, putting things into boxes that, like, pushes my brain further. Because I can go, like, into, like, the atmosphere of non-gravity, like, very quickly if I wanted to. But I know that would be self-destructive for me. It's usually, like, the hardest thing to do is, like, the thing that you need the most, basically.
I can't stand boxes, but we need them to survive.
Containers, bro.
You can't survive without them. You're gonna just drip out of your form. See, that's gross.
Yeah. I just, like, literally got, like, that visual of SpongeBob again. Like, if they didn't have any bones. Remember that one episode where it's like, what would I look like if I didn't have bones? I don't want my bones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, a pancake. A floppy pancake.
What's your skincare routine like?
It's getting better. I don't really know what to say. I wash my face and at night, and then in the morning I put on sunscreen.
I'm kind of starting to not believe in it.
I just think, like, you should wash your face, like, with some nice soap.
Yeah.
And put something under your eyes, and then put something on dry spots of your skin. Like, some sort of, like, non-comedogenic cream. What about you?
I've been using tretinoin. I'm on, like, day 4, but Jan says I should stop.
Why?
Just because it's, like, an intense thing to use, you know? Mm-hmm. But I have some in the bathroom, so I thought I might as well.
Is it, like, prescribed, or did you get it from, like, someone random?
It's from Mexico.
Oh.
People always say I have clear skin, but I don't really. I have like a lot of texture, like very small blackheads, like all over my face pretty much. And I'm sick of it, Sarah.
But I think tretinoin doesn't help with like texture. I think it's more about, well, I guess, yeah, texture, just because it like firms up your wrinkles, which in turn turns to texture when you're older. But
Really?
yeah, I think like more texture, you would need like an AHA or like a BHA, like chemically speaking.
I have those. I've been like reading about the 2010s a lot recently. Just like reflecting on this time. And like, do you remember everyone was talking about BB cream all the time? Like BB cream, like everyone had BB cream. Like even my grandma gave me $5 and I walked to the store and got some BB cream. I just had to have it. And like now we have lip oil and like you have to believe to some extent that these things are constructed by like the industry to like continue making money, to continue selling new beauty products, you know?
Yeah, the beauty industry has like, if you look at like the people that are in charge of the beauty industry, it's like old white men who obviously don't use it. Like, if, yeah, I agree with you though. I think like the only things that like really help your skin is like facials, like once a month.
Yeah, a good facial is really nice.
Yeah, like you don't need all of that serums and stuff. I mean, I guess it helps sometimes. Yeah.
I don't know. I do have a hard time believing in it. I think spending a day at the beach and getting your face wet with the salt water helps so much. And like other little pleasantries like that. Wait, look, I'm sorry. If it's not a game, then what is it?
I told you I don't know, but it's not a game.
It's not, so how do you know it's not a game then?
Because I know everyone dies. And the game needs a winner. So it's not a game. There is no last one standing.
That's true, but I think you win the game when you melt.
Melts
We're
in.
all ice cubes and we're in the ocean and we're trying so hard to maintain our forms, you know, and you're this ice cube, I'm that ice cube, those ice cubes over there are different ice cubes, but we're all just the ocean, you know, and once you become the ocean, you win.
But isn't that death?
No, Sarah.
But you will always have a container. Your body is your container. And that's your cube.
Oh, I kind of see what you mean. Yeah, I can't really answer that because I'm not on that level to know the. But haven't you sort of just melted into everything?
Yeah, but I don't think I've won anything from that.
I think you win when you become everything. And in those states, though, when it's such a dream, you can just have anything you want. It's so easy.
I do agree with that. I think that there is like a reward that you get when you start to melt. Like one of like my teachers from like the Advanta practice that like I go to, they were like talking about how when you start to meditate, you start to get like psychic gifts and stuff. And it's so
Do you have
true.
psychic gifts?
Not consciously, but I think subconsciously I do, and I think it freaks other people out, but like I just don't notice it.
Don't know. I think you have like a deep intuition. And also, you know, like I've talked to like a lot of different people in my life. Like I've probably had, how many people do you think you've talked to in your life? Like at least 1,000 different people, right?
Honestly, like 5,000, just because I've done a lot of readings.
Oh, true, true, true.
Like,
That's so
there are
interesting.
times in high school where I would just like sit down at this coffee shop and people would just like come to me with their birthdays and stuff.
Oh,
I
that's so cute.
know, I was like literally like 80-pound little child sitting in the corner listening to Grimes and just like being a weirdo and like
Oh my
smoking a
God.
cigarette. I thought it was like the
Oh my
coolest thing.
God. I wish we could have found each other. Like, I needed someone. Like, I was like that on my own, you know?
Maybe there is a reason.
Well, I was saying that, you know, I've had like many conversations with people, but you touch me with your words in a certain way. Like, you have a way of saying things that's like very true, and I always cry.
Crying is nice.
My grandma said to me today that I am hanging on to the fringes of society. Like, what the hell does that mean?
I think I know what it means. I think because, objectively, I do think that your grandma is like a traditionalist and you're not like really in school. You don't have like a formal thing going on for you. And that's like her idea of that. But like in a 20-year-old sense, like if you're talking to like a 20-year-old, they'd be like, you are the center of society. You know what I mean?
Oh, like you are your own universe.
Well,
And so,
you are,
like,
but like on another person's, because of like their social standing and like your grandmother is like older
oh,
and stuff.
yeah, that's true. Also, like, I hope she's not listening. By being a grandma, like, that puts you on the fringes of society.
No, it puts them at like the hierarchy of society, like the top of the hierarchy.
People aren't kind to elders.
Maybe in Philadelphia. Well, yeah, actually, that's true.
Actually, my grandma said she went to this sandwich store with like her friend, and when they left, the guy said, "Goodbye, little sweeties." Isn't that cute?
Yes.
I like when people can be themselves like that.
Yeah, there's this Kanye quote that like I like my other little creature on my shoulder whispers to me sometimes. Well,
Wait, what's the other one?
it's not like a devil or like an angel.
Yeah, it's not a devil and angel for sure.
I think it's the sun and the moon. But that kind of like polarizes and like might make people uncomfortable, even though it's just the sun and the moon.
Wait, do you think that you're the moon and I'm the sun?
No.
Good. Better not think that. I'm gonna come over there.
Think we're people. Oh yeah, the Kanye quote, it goes, "I love when people are the maximum version of their character." And that really repeats on my mind sometimes. Words are weird. Sometimes I get on and in confused, and then the other day we were texting and we were getting affect and effect confused, and I can tell that like that bothered you. But sometimes it's just like a text, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes it's like funny to spell things wrong. Do you know what I mean?
It is funny, but like only if you're funny, like if the vibe is right. Like if you're gonna spell ever with like EVR and you're like making art.
Oh my God, why did that say?
It literally just like it was like nails on a chalkboard. You know that feeling of annoyance is so sad to me. Like it's a really bad thing to feel, I feel like. Like to feel annoyed. Like you have to have done something awful to like feel that feeling because it sucks.
Do you know what happens to me?
What?
I feel like, and I'm not trying to be like congratulatory to us when I say this. I truly believe this. This is like my world here in Philadelphia. People don't want to have the types of conversations that you and I have, like people talk about a variety of different things, but like I am like so, I don't know, I'll be like in a group setting and I'll just be like squirming because of what they're talking about. Like I just like I'm so confused almost, like so like I feel like I'm like 10 miles away like watching it and I'm like, what? Or there's like times in the conversation where like my heart is like, that is not like, no, like say something, you know, but I don't want to like get in the flow. And I feel like people are annoyed at me when that happens.
When you're annoyed?
I don't feel annoyed. I feel like, what the fuck? That's how I feel.
I see. I think this is why I don't talk to people. It's like for that exact reason. Like I will never put myself in a situation because I know that's exactly how I'm going to feel. And then when I do start talking to people about like what I want to talk about, I can tell like the type of person that they are right away, because if they're like, if they get like really deep and on my level and like they decide to plug their nose and go underwater with me, it's like, like I like this. But if they're not willing to do that, if they're only willing to like paddle and stuff, I'm just like, I'm gonna swim away. There's not any point to this sort of banter.
Yeah, and a true spiritual friend is the most precious gem. And it's okay that other people maybe don't want to like be there. Like we're all just like different people doing different things, you know? But I just feel like I felt that a lot growing up, just like so lost in like, and like, you know, and like I would try to like fit in like even when I was younger, and I just like couldn't speak that language. I mean, I could speak the language. Do you see? I'm speaking in metaphor.
Yeah, I think that, like, a lot of it, too, I don't know. There, again, there's, like, a myriad of things. Like, a lot of people who we attract are people who have had to develop some sort of emotional intelligence when they're younger, so then they get easily bored with like the low emotional intelligence of others and like where they decide to put their interest in things, because emotions are like at the root of our bodies. Like it's our blood pressure. Like it's very much like intertwined with the way that we think and act. Obviously it's just like emotions are everything. So like when you build that like sort of high emotional threshold when you're younger, there's like a higher, like there's a more, you want more out of life. Like there's not anything that can like soothe you that you like, you know, you're going to talk about like, oh, what's the best pizza place that you've been to? Oh, you've been to that one in New York. Oh, that's so cool. Like, okay, I don't care about that. I mean, I guess, but like, it doesn't pertain to me. It's like, why would I care about it?
Yeah.
In that sense. Like, about pizza. Like, about, like, social world issues. Like, yes, that pertains to me. But,
I mean, sometimes I will say, like, people talk about social issues not to talk about them, but, like, to be talking about them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Just to say something or just to, like, make it seem like they have an opinion. But, like, their opinion is kind of just, you know, something that we've heard a lot, or like it doesn't add anything else, even though it's good to know that like you're on the same page as someone when you talk about social issues.
What do you feel about if someone made a movie that's 2 hours long, but it could have been 20 minutes? Does that make you feel annoyed?
It depends on how good the visuals are.
Oh. They're good, but it could have been 20 minutes and it would have done the same thing.
What about the music?
It's just elevator music.
I like elevator music. I don't know. I don't really have like a strong feeling about that. What about you?
I don't know. I've just been trying to discern like times when my disinterest is actually impatience. Because impatience is really, like, It's like a secret little devil.
Yeah.
You won't even realize you're impatient, and then you realize you are, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Do you get impatient over things that are like, oh, I have to wait for my tea to boil, or like for my food to get here, or something like that? Or do you get impatient with like bigger life things? Like, when will I move forward into the next chapter, sort of thing?
Honestly, my tea boiling in the morning feels like such a gift to me. Like, to have that time and like know that the world waits. But with bigger things, yeah, I feel like I'm like entitled to more. I see like others have more when I'm in like a lower state of mind, you know? And then I also feel impatient sometimes, like in my body. Like, my body needs to do something different than what it's doing. And I'm sort of like, stop it. And my body's like, Mom, can we please go? And I'm like, stop. What about you?
I've definitely felt the bodily impatience. Like, I would get like hyperactive out of nowhere. And that like bothers me because I know like in 5 minutes, like, my adrenaline will burn out, and like that stress is gonna be gone. No, but I've had to like deal a lot with like impatience. I think I grew up like watching my father be very impatient, and that made me kind of like dislike like the look of it. Like, how embarrassing! Like, you can't just wait. But with bigger life things, I think like that entitlement is something that's so collective. Like, I feel that in the collective right now. It's like everyone feels like really entitled to things right now.
Yeah, I actually was feeling that today as well. I was thinking that, you know how everything is like in chaos right now? Everything, I'm pretty sure it's always been that way.
I was just about to say that literally everything is always in chaos, but like right now it feels like things are like not clung together. Like the adhesive still has to dry.
Do you think it will dry, or do you think it'll continue?
I think things are going to be kind of, I think the adhesive will set, and it will be kind of like being put into place in October for a lot of people. And
why October?
October, because the eclipses are again. And right now we're kind of like in that like period of like vacation mode. We're like, okay, eclipses are not happening anymore. Seriousness isn't that serious anymore. Oh yeah, inflation, that's not going anywhere. We're fine. I mean, I don't think people actually think that if you're like economically intelligent. Because inflation is getting really bad, and I think we're going to, like, see that, like, the effects of it are going to be more known in October.
Aren't we going to get canceled in October?
I think so. We're either going to get canceled, or we're going to go, like, super viral.
But the cancel, you said it would, like, have a positive outcome?
Yeah, but the cancel that we do have in October will make us go viral, like, in April or something.
Well, this has gone on long enough.
Yes, it was super nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, I hope you appreciate this lower energy episode. Take it for what it is. Take our opinions as opinions.
Draw yourself a bath tonight.
Massage your left hand. Okay, bye.